And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Had a great weekend. Happy New Year to everyone out there. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing?
Super. Not as good as the Green Bay Packers, though.
Ooh, man, let me tell you. Let me just go ahead and start the show. That was one of the greater football weekends of my life. It was awesome. Tennessee Volunteers dismantling Clemson. Two phenomenal college football semifinal games. And then the Green Bay Packers just utter destruction of the Minnesota Vikings last night. That was a top-tier football weekend, Rex Road. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, seriously. And I'd say every single thing in that is a surprise at some point. I did not expect Tennessee to handle Clemson like that. Definitely didn't expect two classic all-time incredible games. And I thought maybe the Vikings, I mean, are the Vikings the worst 12-4 team in the history of football? I don't know.
They looked bad yesterday.
I don't. But the Pack is, whew, they are hot, man.
Pack are hot. It's going to be Packers-Lions probably on Sunday Night Football to see who gets into the playoffs. It's going to be awesome.
I'm Robbie versus Joe.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Joe's back in there.
It's Robbie and Joe versus all the demons.
Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing well this morning. Joe, also, too, you always will be associated with the Lions, even if you try to de-associate.
That's true.
Or disassociate. Yeah. Wow, that it's early. I just said de-associate.
We're going to go with it.
Actually, it's kind of a good word. You may have invented a good word. Yeah. Look, that's fine. I'm happy to be identified with them. I just want to be identified with hating and rooting against them. So if I have to buy a cheese head for this weekend, I will.
Okay. We'll see what happens. See what happens on that front. Joe, we know that the Titans and Jags squaring off on Saturday night. We figured that it would be either a Saturday primetime game or a Sunday primetime game, and judging by my ESPN app, it's going to be Saturday night at 7:15 for the Titans and the Jags. And I would assume, although it's not been made official yet, that Packers-Lions will be the Sunday night game. They are waiting on the results of the Bills and Bengals tonight to make that time official on Sunday. But we know Packers-Lions will be Sunday, and we know the Titans-Jags will be on Saturday coming up. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and please explain it to me like I'm a child why they're waiting to announce Packers Lions.
Could not tell you. I don't know what they're waiting on there, but apparently they're waiting on that to be after tonight. Couldn't tell you.
Okay. That'll be it's already some interesting reaction out there to the Titans time. A lot of people screaming about how the NFL doesn't care about competitive balance. After they saw this, you know, saw this time, you know, because the Titans have three more days of rest and preparation than the Jaguars. I don't know how to break it to these people, but like if it was Sunday, it would be the same thing. They would have 3 days difference. Like it's just how it was always in the schedule. I mean, it sucks. It's, you know, if you're going to have a Thursday night game the week before the last week, someone's going to get an advantage. But, like, we're acting like this is new information now.
Yeah. I don't know what people thought was going to happen on that scenario one way or the other. Now, I will say, I mean, I guess the one part that if you're a Jags fan upsets you is like, okay, well, they have more days to prepare, and now we have a Saturday game instead of a Sunday game, and we have less days to prepare than we normally would. But other than that, like you said, I mean, it's the same – set up that would be. And the Jags yesterday, I mean, they destroyed the Texans, and they got their guys out of there when that game was over yesterday. So I think they're going to be fine moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same difference. That's true. I mean, I guess, like, if it was a Sunday game, then at least they would have the normal week, and it would just be an advantage. But it would still be that extra day for the Titans, too. I think some people are missing that, like, you know, it's three, and it's like either way, it's three days difference. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever,
Joe. I don't know that the Jeff Saturday experience in Indianapolis is going to continue all that much longer. I mean, they got beat 38-10 yesterday by the Giants. And look, we know that they're bad, and we've known that they're bad. But really, after that first game, after the first win for Jeff Saturday, of the first week that he took over. They have looked especially bad ever since then. And, you know, I'm not going to I guess, count anything out of the realm of possibility when Jim Irsay is the one making decisions, but I think I would be pretty surprised if the Jeff Saturday era continued into next season for the Indianapolis Colts.
I don't know. I know it's been bad. So, I mean, I think logically, Irsay should be looking for someone who has, you know, coached coach his team. But I guess I'd maybe go a little less than 50%, but I mean, it's also sounded like he really, you know, loves the guy and wants him to be part of things. I'm keeping an open mind on where that could go. And Ballard too. I mean, are we certain Ballard's coming back? Did he actually say that for sure?
Yeah, he said Ballard's coming back.
He did say Ballard's coming back. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. I mean, Saturday and Levis together next year, you know. Although Titans fans have to worry about, you know, Jacksonville is the primary concern. That would still be – what a joy that would be for Titans fans to see a Levis-Saturday combo.
I have discovered the reasoning for holding off on naming Packers-Lions Sunday Night Football. If the Bengals lose tonight, next week's Bengals-Ravens game will be for the division title. So that is why they're holding off.
Yeah. I get that, but it would be weird for me that they would choose that still over a get in the playoff game.
Yeah, they may not. I don't know. Maybe they're just leaving
the decision open. But here's another thing. To me, they totally screwed this up. If you put Lions Packers on Saturday night, those teams are basically playing to get in the playoffs. They don't know the Seattle. Now, of course, the Green Bay gets in regardless if they win.
Correct.
But the Lions don't know the Seattle result.
Right.
So, really, that would be the perfect game to put on Saturday. And then, you know, if the Lions win, then they have to wait and you know, root against Seattle the next day. But now the way it is, you're going to know. The Lions may be eliminated by the time they play. So, I think it's really stupid by the TV people.
Yeah, I would agree. So, maybe not looking at the whole picture there. If you're the TV people, but Titans and Jags will be on Saturday Night Football. We'll obviously have a lot to get into on that front this week, and we'll have a lot to get into on that front today as well as the show goes along. Joe, I was watching the two college football playoff games on Saturday, and we'll get into the games themselves coming up a little bit later in the show today. But I'm watching C.J. Stroud sling the football around against that Georgia defense on Saturday. And I did watch a little bit of the Bama Kansas State game earlier in the day. And how anybody could have quarterbacks ahead of Bryce Young and or CJ Stroud in this draft coming up is beyond me. Like, those two guys were, look, we knew Bryce Young, and obviously it wasn't a college football playoff game, but we knew Bryce Young was unbelievable. What CJ Stroud did against that Georgia defense was pretty insane on Saturday night.
No, it was. I got to say, I think of him differently now. We've all seen C.J. Stroud look really good and put up huge numbers. Anybody who watched, like, the Rose Bowl last year, for example, it was just – but also at times it's like he's just out there playing catch, you know. There's just been a lot of games in his career, I think, where, like, the conditions are so perfect. And still, the other day, like, I agree with you, and yet – I also think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is flat out the best. I mean, Jalen Hyatt deserved to win the Blitnikoff, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, he's incredible. But I tell you what, if you like Houston, I was thinking about the Houston Texans front office texting each other, you know, like the text thread during that game. Like, guys, we sure about Bryce? Are we sure?
Yeah.
And I think I'd still take Bryce Young. I think he's incredible. And I just, but man, Stroud, obviously a little bit bigger, and he's just prototypical. And when he breaks, he never runs. That's the thing. He's never been a running quarterback at all. And he makes some of those plays like he did in that game. What a gamer. I mean, that was incredible. I think it is a really fascinating debate for first overall pick. Now, maybe we've heard from John McClain, and I think others who have kind of suggested, like, they're pretty settled on Bryce Young. But like, there's a long way to go in this process too. I think CJ Stroud made his case, and I'm with you. I mean, it's those two, and then it's let's talk about other people.
Yeah, I mean, they were incredible on Saturday. It was an incredible day of college football on Saturday, and we'll have a lot to get into on that front. We'll get into the Tennessee and Clemson game coming up next as well. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is the launch day of our new lineup here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. So we here on Robbie and Rex Road going from 6 to 9 a.m. today. Chase and Michelle taking over for their inaugural show from 9 to 11, so looking forward to that. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace debuting from 11 to 2 today, and then Stillman and Company at their normal time from 2 to 6. So a new schedule today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and we are looking forward to taking you along with us for the ride here today. We'll get into the Vols coming up next and their beatdown against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. Joe Rexroad was there. We'll get his thoughts on the performance of Joe Milton and what an 11-2 season means for the Vols as they cap things off on Friday night with a win in the Orange Bowl. That's coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. The Packers and the Lions playing for a playoff spot on the line this weekend. The Packer hot. They looked really good yesterday. I'll go with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to win that game, but you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. They've got great live betting options every single day, and when you win, you'll get your winnings paid quickly. So sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Today and every day, our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. The Tennessee Vols on Friday night, they get it done in the Orange Bowl. They take down the Clemson Tigers, 31-14, the final score in South Florida. Tennessee was really in control of that game for basically the whole time. Joe Milton, 19 of 28, 251 yards, three touchdown passes on the night. Jalen Wright with 89 yards on the ground. Squirrel White leading the way receiving for Tennessee, nine catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown on the night. And, Joe, you were there for the game and were in attendance down there in South Florida. Tennessee really dismantling Clemson and defensively putting together an excellent performance led by Aaron Beasley on Friday night. What did you make of Tennessee's win against Clemson, especially in the fashion that they did it with a convincing win, 31-14, against the ACC champs?
It was a very weird game because I felt like they were actually outplayed a lot of the night. And then, Clemson Clemson botching, the fake field goal and just missing some field goals. The guy missed two field goals all year. Potter missed two field goals, and he missed, three in the first half. So they botched four trips into the Tennessee territory. And, Tennessee had five three and outs in this game, yep, which is – that's a lot of three and outs for Tennessee football, man. Like, we are not used to seeing that. And yet it turns out to be a rout. And, I think the biggest takeaway from this game – is the biggest thing that we went into the game talking about. It's Joe Milton and a guy who I don't think anybody can argue otherwise has made progress. And he made especially, I'd say, three throws in that game that were like, whoa. But, then, of course, he also was not overthrowing the deep shots. So you're like, okay. And you can see where he's got – a chance to be really good next year. So, I mean, I think ultimately it was a very positive takeaway from him, but not perfect. And certainly the offense had its issues. Also, the offense missing its top two receivers. Good to remember. The top two guys, I think, from next year, though, made big plays in this game, and that's what it's going to be. And then Tennessee's defense, I think you have to give them a lot of credit. Tim Banks and his defense, they give up 63 to South Carolina. It's about as bad as it can be. It's just bad. And in the next six quarters of football, they give up 3 points. When it comes down to the situational football was back for Tennessee, and in this game in particular, they got after the freshman quarterback. They made big plays. Yeah, they gave up some plays, and my gosh, they've got to turn their heads around on those deep shots.
Yes.
They got to work on that, man. The PI, but that's the thing about that's the great thing about college football. You know what? Grab a guy 15 yards. Okay, fine. I think they deserve a lot of credit. Aaron Beasley, you could make a case for him to be the MVP of that game, and I thought he would be at one point. He was great all over the place. And yeah, I just think, Danico Slaughter also. We're talking about defensive backs. I mean, they got some guys who made some plays. When that guy is healthy and right, boy, does he fly around and hit people. So overall, I mean, you're talking about beating Clemson, LSU, and Bama, as Heupel said after the game, three of the last four national champions. Like the Alabama game will live on, as you know, Robbie, as a Tennessee fan, like that is going to be just a moment in time. But the whole thing, the whole season, who the heck would have ever picked this team to go 11-2, win the Orange Bowl, and beat Clemson, Bama, in particular, Clemson and Bama?
Yeah, no, it was incredibly impressive. 11-2. Josh Heupel was pretty adamant after the game that, the best is still yet to come for Tennessee football. He said that probably five or six times after the game. But yeah, you can't help but walk away impressed with Joe Milton and the way that he played defensively, especially when they got into the red zone. I mean, they really just closed the door on Clemson. And look, Clemson, they had some self-inflicted wounds. I mean, you mentioned the fake punt. I mean, I thought the opportunity to pitch that ball was there, and had they done it on that play, you're probably picking up the first down. Cade Klubnik at the end of the first half, making a freshman play where there's, you don't have any timeouts. If you throw the ball away, you can at least go try another field goal, and he runs it up the gut, gets tackled in bounds, and no time to go up and spike the ball. So Clemson certainly helped Tennessee out a little bit with their self-inflicted wounds that they had, but overall, I mean, I just thought a really impressive performance defensively. And Joe, you talked about this heading into the game, and I think it's pretty clear after watching him play in a starting role, Squirrel White's going to be pretty darn good. They're high on Squirrel White, and 9 catches, 108 yards, the one touchdown. They had the deep connection, the 50-yarder with him and Joe Milton. That kid's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, when you see a freshman who can do what he does already, and you think about then a great offseason, and it's another thing that's really interesting about him, and this goes back to early enrolling everything, Alex Golish at one point saying, like, I don't, he's, basically like his, talking about his maturity, like, I don't know that I've seen too many players that young who are that focused on school and like everything, trying to be great. You hear things like that, usually that's a really good sign. Sometimes it takes, like you said, like Jalin Hyatt, some learning the hard way and all that stuff. But this kid is, I think he's the next, we'll see what is the ceiling, but I think it's pretty high. And I also think that Brew McCoy, his physicality, that's a great combo. I tell you what, I mean, we're going to sit here and I'm going to be guilty of this too. And maybe it's the right way to think about it. We're gonna be finding like the guy who should replace Romel Keaton,
Kid's pretty
Yeah,
good.
I think you're okay with him. I mean, the guy can play, and that play, to me, that was the play of the game. The two touchdown passes in the red zone were like holy crap throws by Joe Milton. Because again, it's not just, I think so, I was texting somebody, about this, over the weekend, who's like, yeah, I know he has a cannon arm, but he's not accurate. I'm like, no, that's not true. Again, those passes are like, I think he can throw with pinpoint accuracy, and those red zone throws, seeing it and ripping it like that, whoo, man. But the big play of the game was that third and nine to Keaton over the middle, where they kind of had to adjust. And if that isn't converted, who knows where this game goes? The game was going Clemson's way, and instead, that basically the next play blows it open.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the third and nine that you pick up to Keaton right over the middle there, and I thought that was one of his best throws of the night. And then by the time I'm finished tweeting about how that was a great throw by Joe Milton, the ball's in the end zone. So I mean, it's back to back plays there from Milton to Keaton there. And look, if you go back, and I think Keaton tweeted it out, I think it was yesterday. Like, if you go back and watch the route that Keaton ran on that touchdown play, I mean, it was unbelievable. He faked kind of the inside cut there, and Clemson bit hard, and he was wide open going down the sideline. And to his credit, like you said, Joe Milton wasn't perfect in the game, Joe. He missed, the short throw kind of over the middle there. That could have been a first down on that stretch where they had 5-3 and outs. But, I mean, the deep ball to Squirrel White was a great ball. The deep ball to Keaton was a great ball. I mean, he hit some deep shots in that game, and not only did he hit those deep shots, he put a little loft on it, put a little air on it, and the receiver running right underneath it, which was, as we know, Joe, not always the case with a Joe Milton pass.
Now, look, I feel like and again, we talked about it before. I mean, he already had thrown a few this year that were like, oh, okay, that's some loft along with throwing it a country mile. But here again, I mean, I think, he was able to kind of harness the adrenaline and put that loft under it. And then it's just such a weapon. I mean, basically, he missed a few in the Vanderbilt game, after hitting the one early, and you're like, oh boy. But other than that, I mean, that's it this year. For the most part, he has looked good doing that along with everything else. So I'm fascinated to see where it goes with him. It's still like it's asking so much to try to be, to try to duplicate or be in the same vicinity of what Hendon Hooker did, especially this last year. And you're talking about right up there as with the greatest quarterback seasons Tennessee football's ever seen. But man, I'm also fascinated to see what these coaches do. And I do think Joey Halsley will be named OC. You can do some things with that arm that, like, you can't even try to think about doing with other quarterbacks. It's going to be fun to watch. I don't know if it's going to be consistent enough, and maybe I had these arguments with some other people who are down on Joe Milton. Like, if they don't get somebody in the portal, he's going to cost them a game or two. Maybe. I mean, maybe that's true, but I also feel like he is a really good leader too, and he's got a swagger about him that's just – it's infectious, man. It's going to be whatever it is, and he's got an offseason now to get up to speed. And I know it's a competition, but he's going to be the starter. And whatever it is going to be fun to watch.
Well,
I feel confident in.
Well, it's no question. It's going to be fun. I wanted to see in this game, like, could he be consistent enough, and could he make enough throws where if you're a Tennessee fan watching the game – you say, okay, I can see it. I feel good about it as him being the starting quarterback heading into next year. And I think the answer is yes. Like you said, it wasn't perfect. And, I have no idea. Nico may come into fall camp and just be amazing, and they may not have a choice. I have no idea. But I think it's going to be Joe Milton starting next year, at least to begin with. And, it wasn't perfect. They had some three and outs. It was difficult at times, especially earlier in the game, to run the ball against Clemson. And then as the game went on, they started to get that rolling a little bit, especially with Jalen Wright going in there and breaking that 42-yarder. But I just thought Joe Milton, for the most part, I mean, the decision-making was really good, and he's not turning the ball over. That's the big thing. I mean, think about his season. When he does make mistakes, he's putting the ball at least in a spot where the other team's not getting it. And that's – you can't – overrate that. As long as you're not turning the ball over, you're not hurting your team as bad as you could be when you miss.
No, for sure. I mean, he had one that could have been picked, but Keaton also slipped on that play. Yeah. So, I don't know. It was hard to, but that's a huge, huge deal. That's a huge thing that Hooker did too. I will say a couple things. I still think as a runner, that's one thing where you're going to have a step down. like Hooker could is just quicker, you know,
yeah.
and shifty. And Milton, when he gets going, is a monster. Like the QB power with him is going to be hell on people. But in the pocket, he took some sacks. Like there's some things to work on. But I don't understand why Tennessee fans. And I get it. Like the five star player. Quick story for you. So after the game, we actually went back to Dublin and I and Mike Wilson's with me. Went back to the hotel to write because it was like, you know, it was like 1:30 before after we're done with the interviews. Like, well, may as well back. They had like a nice breakfast buffet back at the hotel.
Oh yeah.
So we went back there and wrote. There was a Tennessee fan who came up to Ubbin and me and introduced themselves. Like, hey, you know, I really like reading stuff on The Athletic and everything. And immediately went into, so it should be Nico, right? I'm like, no, why? No, it shouldn't be Nico. But that's just, I mean, look again. Unknown is undefeated. 6'6". California five-star quarterback, like, I get the fascination, but I'm like, after watching that game, you know, wouldn't that? I do think that there have to be more Tennessee fans who are swayed around the Joe Milton camp after that game, right?
Well, look, I'll tell you, for me, like, he changed my mind a little bit. Like, I had gotten to the point where I felt pretty good that he was going to be the starter, at least to start with next year. I wondered, what would that mean? Like, how could you operate the offense? And the receiving corps is part of that, right? Squire White, Brew McCoy, Romel Keaton. Like, what's that going to look like with the losses that you're going to have with Hooker, Tillman, and Hyatt? And like you said, it wasn't perfect, but, I mean, there were times they looked pretty darn good out there offensively. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on Tennessee's win against Clemson coming up next. We'll also get into the college football playoff semifinals. A wild weekend of college football. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tennessee takes down Clemson on Friday night, 31-14 in the Orange Bowl. The Vols finished the season 11-2, so the best Tennessee football season in a long time. Taking place this year, discussing the game and what it means for the future of this Tennessee team. Joe Milton, 19 of 28, 251 yards and three touchdowns in the game on Friday night. Squirrel White, 9 catches, 108 yards and a touchdown. And Joe, another guy that I was wondering how you'd look in this game that has an NFL future. And, you know, I was impressed that he decided to play. Byron Young did well for himself in this game, 2 sacks for the Vols, and he looked pretty disruptive out there.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see someone like him decide to, you know, play one more game and play well. He's a good player. You know, he didn't have huge numbers this year, not a finished product. I'll be interested to see where he goes. But, man, that guy, and I know, my gosh. And I think I wrote about his Dollar General thing last year. And for those who don't know, he worked at Dollar General, which is just, he also worked at Circle K, by the way, but yeah. He, you know, he's a guy who, you know, was not really a prospect. Had gone to like this kind of prep school and it turned out to be like weird. And he was basically just out of football, working at a Dollar General, just hoping to, you know, someone to give him a look. And he goes from that to, you know, basically you're at another prep school and like everybody wants him, or junior college, I forget now, but, you know, he turns into this tremendous prospect and he's just, you know, I think when people go through real life experiences like he has, like, there's a lot of perspective that you have, you know, as opposed to maybe just being like the five star who is coddled all along. And he's an impressive guy. It's going to be fun to watch him, see what he does in the NFL.
What did you think of Cade Klubnik's night? Obviously, that Clemson had to throw the ball a lot. They threw the ball 54 times. They ran over 100 plays. So that offense was out there a lot for Clemson on Friday night. What did you make of Cade Klubnik, the young freshman for Clemson?
Yeah, he's talented for sure. I thought, you know, there were some times when he ran the ball where you could really see there's one thing that I think, you know, they'll be better there than with DJU, who, you know, was a powerful runner. But Klubnik is, he's good. And he's very talented thrower of the football. He, there was some pocket presence. He looked like a freshman issues that night for sure. You know, I just thought there were times where he's just kind of backpedaling, throwing off his back foot. And like you said, like the lack of awareness at the end of the first half. There's a lot to work with there, but he looked like a freshman. Tennessee took advantage of his inexperience and just really got after him for the most part. I mean, their best offense really was just throw it up and try to get a PI. But at the same time, that Tennessee defense, when it got to the point where that third nine throw from Milton to Ramel Keaton really, you know, kept him alive, and then they hit the bomb the next play, the Tennessee defense was exhausted. And this is the problem, you know, with this is why, like, statistically, I still, like, you have to put an asterisk next to defenses that are paired with this offense because they have three and outs that last 5 seconds, that take 5 seconds off the clock. And then, you know, when you have to play that many plays, you have to keep that in mind with the Tennessee defense. But, you know, overall, if you get stops in the red zone and you get up to the quarterback, that's your formula.
Joe, to put a bow on the Orange Bowl discussion, Tennessee gets the win, and it's a dominant win on the scoreboard against a program that has been an upper echelon program in college football for the past decade. They finished the season 11-2. You feel good about Joe Milton and the way that he played and some of the freshmen that are stepping up, like Squirrel White. The recruiting has gone well. How do you, now that it's done, describe the season for Josh Heupel, this program in year two, and where Tennessee football is headed, in your opinion?
Well, just incredibly – I mean, just the whole thing of Heupel in 2 years, just an incredible job. You know, I know he didn't win Coach of the Year. I think he was the clear favorite this year until the very end. And look, I think the right guy won. I mean, Sonny Dykes, my gosh, what he's done at TCU.
Yeah.
It's interesting too when you think about that. It's like, I mean, this last weekend kind of showed us, like, okay, it actually doesn't have to be blowouts for the obvious programs every time. You know, maybe we are entering an era of more parity. I mean, certainly hope so. So it was amazing to see good games, but certainly with Tennessee, I think there's every reason to expect Tennessee football to be at the table now, because the table's getting bigger. But even in the context of, like, can you be a top program in the SEC? Can you compete with the top programs for players, you know, on the field on Saturday, you know, every fall? I mean, next year, you know, Georgia is going to have a different look. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good look. But they're coming into Knoxville. I mean, I think that it's the brightest outlook for Tennessee football. I mean, I think it's the same thing. We keep going back all year long, 20 years, 20 plus years, and I think that's what it is. I mean, you tell me, you know, as a Tennessee fan, when's the last time you felt this good about the future? Like, you have a coach who knows what he's doing. There's massive momentum. I mean, the recruiting landscape has changed, but Tennessee has been out front on that. So I think the AD is a really smart guy, and I think they're going to, you know, capitalize in every way that they can on the fan base they have and then the tradition and history. And I think that Tennessee football is going to be playing for national championships in the years to come.
Yep, it's the best that they've looked in a long, long time, 20 years. Like you said, it just feels like there are – competent people running the program right now, and gotta say it's gonna be really interesting to see where they take it from here. I don't know that they're gonna be able to match next year what they did this year, but if you can keep, you know, the recruiting momentum up and you can continue to develop guys the way that they have, I mean, they're gonna be right in the mix as they move forward here. The college football playoff semifinals underway on Saturday, Joe, and look, I got to say, that was, I think, certainly the best college football semifinal day in the history of the college football playoff. You can make an argument, and I know there have been some good national championship games, but you can make an argument that Saturday was the best day in the history of the college football playoff. I mean, it was awesome. TCU takes down Michigan 51-45 in an epic game, and I thought it would be hard to top that one, and I think Georgia and Ohio State might have. Georgia wins 42-41 on Saturday. Two great games in the college football semifinal.
Yeah, I think it easily was the best. I mean, the fact that you have 8 hours of football like that, I'm trying to think. I mean, the best national championship would probably be the Georgia-Bama game, right?
Correct.
And at the buzzer. There was an Alabama-Clemson game where Clemson got away with an incredible OPI to win that game.
They did.
Like you said, some great games in the title game. You've had the occasional great game in the semifinal. The Oklahoma-Georgia Rose Bowl was incredible. But, no, man, that was an unbelievable day of football. And I think, my prevailing takeaway, well, first of all, I'm going to tip of the cap to you because you called TCU beating Michigan. I did not think that was going to happen. Nice call. And you also said there's no chance Ohio State's going to hang with Georgia. So I immediately washed it out. Yeah, it doesn't wash it out, but I just want to make sure we get that out there, too.
I also said that, too.
Yeah, well, I thought with, Stroud and their talent, you can't rule that out. I think here's one thing that, some of my friends who cover Michigan told me, after that win, and I think, it kind of rings true now. Like, Michigan hammered Ohio State in that game, but that was also a game that Ohio State was in total command of, and then it just blew up on them, and you gave up a bomb and another bomb and a zero blitz, and it's like, and then a long run, and it's like, holy crap. And, I mean, there's the genesis of the Vrabel column. I think Ohio State probably, beats Michigan 7 or 8 times out of 10, I think that they're still so talented, and they're talented to the extent of they were good enough to win it. I mean, I thought we were looking at this is just a replay of that 2014 Ohio State season where they get down to their third quarterback and you think Alabama's just going to hammer them, and they come out and just kick their butt with Zeke Elliott and all those incredible. I mean, they're just an incredibly talented team. So there's one thing, but then I think my biggest takeaway is just TCU, man. What a story. Like, they've turned this upside down. There's no way they should be able to do this. They should not be where they are. And yet, look at that. I mean, Michigan made mistakes, but still was in great position to – I thought they were going to overtake them. And what – TCU answers every time. I can't – it's a mind-blowing job of coaching by a first-year coach for a team that had a losing record last year.
Yeah, I mean, the odds heading into the season to win the national championship for TCU were 200-1. 200-1 were the odds heading into the season, and they find themselves now in the national title game. Joe, I will say, I was thinking of you on Saturday night when Ohio State got up by 2 scores against Georgia, because I was like, all right, let's think about what all has transpired since Rex Road came out with this Vrabel article of Ohio State. Ohio State's in the playoff. They're about to take down Georgia, and the Titans haven't won a game since he came out with the article. What a time.
Seriously, I need to just shut my mouth. Actually, I almost tweeted this, and I was like, I just don't want to bring on more crap myself. I almost tweeted at the end, Ryan Day needs to spend every cent he can bring Mike Vrabel in to be his defensive coordinator.
Also, Ryan Day and Ryan Porth look so similar.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I know.
Yeah,
I was watching the game, and I was also like, whoa.
It's freaky, man.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty weird. We'll take your thoughts on the college football playoff. What did you make of TCU's takedown of Michigan and an epic game between Ohio State and Georgia? We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. We'll get into the AFC playoff picture and the Titans and the Jags coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to all that coming up on the show. Right now discussing the college football playoff and taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I will say, Georgia obviously continues their run. They get to 14-0. They got a good chance to win their second consecutive national title game. you know, Stetson Bennett made some big plays in that game, also made some big mistakes in that game. But the thing that stands out to me, Joe, is that's two games in a row now, and albeit one of them in the SEC title game against LSU was pretty much over, and then LSU started to hit some big plays as that game went along. But that's two games in a row where statistically the numbers would bear out that Georgia's defense struggled, particularly against the pass, and the Ohio State game was much different from the LSU game. I mean, Ohio State was basically kicking their butt, throwing the ball the whole game, and that was with guys going down in the game, and then obviously the hit on Marvin Harrison Jr. at the end of the game, and that caused him to get out of the game. But Georgia's secondary the last couple of times out has been exposed a little bit by LSU and then, of course, against Ohio State as well. What do you make of that and what it could mean for the national championship matchup between Georgia and TCU?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes to I think it kind of goes to the whole thing, like the one, you know, look, this is it. It's just like one time to play a team. And what if you played it out 10 times? Especially, and I'm thinking about this in terms of Tennessee, because I will say another thing that crossed my mind, Robbie, Saturday was, boy, Tennessee with Hooker, you know, Tennessee in its best form this year is good enough to be in this group, you know, to be in one of these games today, you know, and I really believe they were, just, you know, because of their offense. And, you know, Georgia absolutely kicked their butt, no qualms about it on that day. But also, that was one of those days where home field meant so much in a football game. And I look at Georgia right now, and they look like a team that lost a million guys in the NFL last year. Like, this is what should happen, right? Like, you should look a little bit human and mortal when you have – and by the way, Nolan Smith standing there, you know, he's out there at the coin toss. Great leader. He's another top NFL prospect. That's a big loss. They just – yeah, they look – and really, they didn't look great against Georgia Tech either, by the way.
No.
You know, for stretches of that game. So I think that they're all in the end, this defense lost an incredible amount of talent in the NFL. They had some fantastic performances, and that Tennessee performance is the one where you're like, okay, wow, did they really fall off at all? But yes, they have. And when you think about Ohio State, you know, their number one running back was not there. I mean, Trevion Henderson is a special player. They don't have another guy like that. Smith and Jigba, along with losing Harrison, talking about first round level receivers, not on the field, you know, in the fourth quarter. I mean, even without all that, Ohio State went up and down the field on them. So some of it is just that Ohio State is an absurd, absurdly talented team. Also, give Ryan Port.
Yes, please give Port all the credit.
Port, the coach of Ohio State.
You put it in my head, Michelle. Give Ryan Day a lot of credit. Like, this is where he's great. He hit the game plan, the play calling, it was elite, right? And that's what he is. I mean, that's where he's great. The question remains with him. You know, there's some other things that have eroded, I think, with the Buckeyes. And honestly, I will say I didn't like at the end. I think they had to, I didn't like what they did in not gaining any yardage there for their kicker. But overall, that was like, okay, there's why Vrabel wanted to hire him as his OC when he got the Titans job. You know, that's what he is. And it's just an elite offensive group. Now, the question I have is, you know, can TCU shock again? I think one thing they did to Michigan, they're way more physical than Michigan expected defensively. They just didn't let them run on them like they thought. And then they were physical running it back at, you know, one of the best defenses in the country. So what does that mean for this matchup? I don't buy that we're just about to see a gross blowout. I don't know how anybody can watch that TCU game and just dismiss them.
Well, I mean, look, the line on FanDuel Sportsbook right now is Georgia by 13.5. So they're expecting a two-touchdown game for Georgia in this game. And I agree. Like, Max Duggan, I don't know that Max Duggan is going to be like, you know, some NFL starting quarterback or – a superstar out there. I have no idea what Max Duggan is going to be. But the guy is, I mean, the dude's tough. And he just makes some plays. And look, he made some mistakes on Saturday. I mean, he completed less than 50% of his passes. So it's not like he was just lighting it up out there. But he made some big plays in that game. And like you said, Joe, I mean, they ran the ball for 263 yards against a Michigan defense that's been stellar all year. So just big play after big play in that game. And I don't know, they're just – I know it unraveled on them a little bit against K-State in the title game, but there does kind of feel, I don't know if I want to call it like team of destiny feel, but there is a special kind of feeling to that TCU group this year.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I hope they give us a good game, because it would be, I mean, look, what have we been saying year after year? It's like this 14 playoff is just, ugh, it's just blowout after blowout, and there's never, even if, you'll have the occasional team that gets in there. I mean, that's what Michigan was last year, get blown out, you know, Washington, whoever, they get blown out. But this is the team that sneaks in and now gets the title game. And what if they actually give us a good title game? I think that'd be great.
They need to win.
They need to win, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
If they win, if TCU wins, that's the most surprising, shocking national champion since, I don't know, someone tell me. I mean, we're going way back.
Yeah, you'd have to go way back.
Way back. I mean, I'm sure in the BCS era, but even in the BCS era, I can't remember a game where there was someone completely out of left field in it, you know? It would be great for the sport. And I think it already has been to see what they did. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, Duggan's a good player. He made it really like twice. Jesse Minter, former Vanderbilt DC, who's in his first year as Michigan's DC, didn't have a great day. You know, he threw those blitzes at him, and Duggan burned him twice with those touchdown passes that were really huge plays in the game. And obviously, especially that long one, but the one in the red zone was a great play by a quarterback. And their defense hold up. Here's another thing about this game that's really interesting. Like, you got two guys who may never be starters in the NFL at quarterback, you know,
yeah.
For as much as we talk about, and I think rightfully so, as much as we talk about it's a quarterback game, and ultimately most years it's Trevor Lawrence in there, or it's, you know, Deshaun Watson or Mac Jones, Tua, whatever. Max Duggan against Stetson Bennett, folks.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And it was hilarious to watch Stetson Bennett and Kirby Smart, like in the immediate aftermath of the win against Ohio State, because it looked like neither one of them could actually believe that they won the game. Like, Stetson Bennett, like, almost couldn't find the words, and Kirby Smart, like, immediately went into coach mode. He's like, "Well, yeah, we won. Ohio State probably deserved to win the game, and let me just tell you, I don't know that we're ready for TCU right now." I was like, "Geez, dude, can you enjoy it for like half a second before you just start going nuts out there?"
Seriously, man. Like, the clock just struck midnight, you know? Like, have a glass of champagne and relax for a minute.
Take the visor off. Visor. Yeah.
Let loose. No, take the visor off.
And I'm sure you guys have seen, like, I tweeted it out. Someone, you know, tweeted, like, the timing of the ball dropping in New York. Like, it was exactly when that kick was shanked. What a crazy day, man. Crazy day.
That was the definition of wide left. That's pretty wide left.
Oh, God. Yeah,
feel bad for the kid.
And by the way, the laces were definitely wrong. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Like, the whole thing was botched. Whew. Kirby Smart, by the way, give him one. I can tell you what, the timeout that he called before the fake.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a game winning timeout.
Ohio State fans are mad about that one. They don't think he got it off in time.
But as they said on the broadcast, and for people to, like, if you tell an official that, before the play is snapped, it doesn't matter if the official beats the play.
Right.
As soon as the official gets that registered, it's a timeout.
Right, exactly. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming up next on the playoff picture in the AFC, which is starting to round into form, and we'll look ahead to the Titans and the Jags coming up on Saturday Night Football as well. Looking forward to that. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
Yes, OrderGreen.com, the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. A wide selection of high-quality THC and CBD products. You're talking about edibles, gummies, vapes, flower, you name it. OrderGreen.com has it, and also OrderGreen.com has a team with extensive knowledge for every product they offer. This means you as a customer can know you're receiving the highest of quality from reputable providers. You get nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep, and if you subscribe to OrderGreen.com, 25% off every shipment of gummies. If you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase.